hospital, and they were asking me, hey, what's your name? Do you know what your name is? Do you know what day this is? I said, sure, I know what day it is. It's opening day of bow season. And but then I thought, you know, all that medicine there, man, I was just so exhausted and so forth, and I've done real good today, and I felt good, and I feel good tonight. And but I asked that, what's it called, neurologist, and I told her, I said, man, I just couldn't walk from here to that table there and just without being exhausted. And some of this medicine I wanted to get out. She said, oh, it's not the medicine. That's the stroke. That's the reason why you're fatigued. And that's going to get a little better each time. But, you know, I thought maybe it was that pill that I swallowed big as a Buick hubcap after we cut it in half. And but it wasn't that at all. And so let me just tell you is that there's a lot of folks, and it's dear to my heart because I didn't know for a long time my mother didn't even know who I was. I'm glad she could remember Mickey Mouse, but she didn't know who I was there for a long time. And my wife, she called her the madam of the house and all of that right there. And so, yeah, she said, you know the madam lives in that room, stays in that room. I said, yeah. What do you do with that? What are you going to do with that kind of thing right there? My daddy, whenever he was on them high-powered drugs with cancer and all that, he'd hallucinate. He'd see stuff out there in the back field there from the house. And of course, it wasn't there. But anyhow, when I'd come up, the rest of them, it worried them. They went to trying to explain to him. And he'd go to telling me, he said, them things that were out there? And he was a whole lot like Joe Biden. He didn't know how to get a sentence out, and he wasn't really coherent and so forth and on. And I said, don't worry about it, Daddy. I'll take care of him. I'll take care of him. And the rest of them said, well, why do you want to make him think that? I said, he already thinks that. He just thinks you're nuts for not being able to see what he's seeing. And so now, does he feel better about it? Sure he does. That's the way you do that. All right, take your Bible, if you will, please. We're going to be looking in the book of 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter number 18. In the book of 1 Samuel chapter 18, we're going to be looking in about verse number 25. Now, we look at several things out of the chapter, but I want you to look in verse number 25 here in this lesson that we're looking at here. And Saul said, thus shall ye say to David, the king desireth not any dowry, but 100 foreskins of the Philistines to be avenged of the king's enemies, but Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it, and how good it is to be in the house of God. We praise you and thank you, thou art God, beside thee there is none else. Bless the word to every heart. We want to thank you now for all you've done and all you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while on a sermon that I preached way back when, I don't know, a year or so, two or three, four, five, seven, 8 years ago. This says 2015. And give you some thoughts along that line. And I want to say to you that, if you will, that this morning we talked about, here's David that's been a hero. He slew the giant. Here's a man that delivered his whole nation by the hand of God. You'll find that here's a man that killed the giant, cut his head off, and then sported it around and showing people that, hey, this blasphemer against God and the armies of God has now paid the ultimate price. And let me tell you, being able to see him with his hand full of Goliath's hair and holding his head up, that's not the ultimate there. You know, you're going to hear people every now and again, they're going to see somebody that's like that child molester. And they'll say, well, listen, you know, I'll tell you, is that he ought to be sent to prison, and death is too quick and easy for him. I want to ask you this. Have you ever stopped to think that prison keeps somebody alive, keeps them pampered, keeps them fed, keeps them inoculated from other diseases? You'll never be able to punish anybody like God can in the pits of hell. I say, buddy, send them right on out. That's where they need to be. That's where they're headed. That's where they ought to be. I can tell you, I'm not interested in giving them a witness. I'm interested in sending them to their final abode. In this Bible lesson you're looking at, you'll find out that what a great record that we had this morning, the power of God. And let me tell you right now, is this young man that was called David, you'll find out that he's a young man that believed God. Here was a man that was fearless. Here's a man that was faithful. Here was a man that was fully committed unto the Lord. I don't know about you, but I like it whenever I know that in my heart I'm as fully committed as I can be unto God. I'm not looking for a loophole. I'm not looking for an excuse. I'm just glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. In this Bible lesson you're looking at, you're going to find out is that while that Goliath has said, choose you a man, well, God chose this man by the name of David. And let me tell you right now, the ultimate end of that is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Is there salvation in anybody but the Lord Jesus? No, there is not. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby that we must be saved. I can tell you, when you leave this world, all that's going to matter is what you've done in this life with the Lord and Savior, and His name is Jesus Christ. Now, I want to say to you that there's going to be a lot of Goliaths that come up in our lives and that are going to breathe out threats and blasphemy against us. But let me say to you that you've got to decide, what do you want to do in life? What is it you would like to do? Not what somebody else wants you to do. What would you like to do in life? I got to tell you something, is that what you'd better do is you'd better pray about it. You'd better be prepared for it. And then you'd better pursue it with every fiber of your being. I was thinking in the lesson that the biggest thing that you and I have, the biggest giant that you and I will ever face, is the will of God and knowing what it is for your life. I got to say to you that, if you will, that it's nothing like being in the will of God and where God wants you to be. I know there's a lot of times, you know, that opportunities may arise, and I've had a few opportunities in life, but it just wouldn't have been the will of God. You see what I'm talking about? Sometimes more money's dangling, but it's not the will of God. Sometime, you know, a new place to reside, but it may not be the will of God. You'd better find out really and truly who you are, what the will of God is for your life, and you'd better seek the face thereof. I can tell you right now, you're not going to rise above them. Number one, in the lesson that we're looking at, let me tell you, we talked about David was a hero. He had a victory that was his to claim. And by the way, there was rejoicing that went on. I got to tell you right now is you'd better rejoice, and you'd better do it with your guard up. You remember reading this morning, and if you can back up, reread it in chapter 17, but Saul had him brought there to his house and decided, I'm going to keep him around here. I'm not going to let him leave anymore. I'm just going to keep him right here. He's such a, I don't know, such a blessing, such an asset, such a victorious person to be around. And here's a man that's full of fame and full of God. Got some fight in him. In the day we live in, let me tell you, you'd better know something like that about yourself, because there's another battle coming right around the corner. I want to say to you is that you'll find that David's already killed an enemy that's from without, and his name was Goliath. But now there's going to be another enemy that's within, and his name's going to be Saul. You know, it was all right is that while that there's a battle that's behind, there's a battle that's ahead. And now here's what old Saul does. David, without even solicitation, David's a humble man. He's a heroic man. Here's a man that just simply is going to be a servant to his king by the name of Saul, who is the king of Israel. But you'll find is that the ladies got in on it. They got to singing, you know, Saul has slain his thousand, but David has slain his 10,000. And boy, that got to rubbing him raw. That got to rubbing him the wrong direction. And you talk about making his mind get messed up. And as a result of that, when he gets all messed up like that, he got to thinking. And boy, he could hear it in his mind. In fact, he rehearsed it and he said, all them women are singing about David has slain his, Saul has slain his thousands, rather, and David has 10,000. Can you imagine? Is that it just got to eating on him day and night. And let me tell you, jealousy got to setting in on him. And not only that, but he decided he wanted to go ahead and kill old David himself. And finally, the Bible said that there was an unclean spirit came from God onto Saul. And when it did, it put him in a mad, mean, grouchy, slanderous. My word, as quiet as it is, you ever had that happen to you? Did you ever notice there that here's a guy that takes up a javelin and throws it at old David, and twice he escapes out of his hand? In the lesson that you're looking at, let me tell you something. He didn't like the fact that David was getting all the praise and the songs were being sung about him were a whole lot heavier than they were being sung about Saul, who had only slain his thousands, where David has slain his 10,000s. Now, you know, jealousy is no place in the house of God. And in fact is, you know, and every now and again, you know, I don't never have anybody that runs up to me and says anything. I don't know if anything like that's going on and harboring in your heart, but it ought to be. You know, whenever I leave town, if I'm out of town, I'll either listen to Brother Darrell when he's preaching or whoever that I've got, but then I'll call three or four people, and I'll ask him, hey, how'd it go? Well, how'd the preacher do? I've always got a good positive report. I'd better get one every time. Amen. I'd better get one every time. We're not trying to just leave anybody and everybody. We're trying to leave the best that God has got available. I want to be able to have somebody that can preach hell hot and heaven real in my absence when I'm gone. But not every preacher's going to be like that. I guarantee you right now there's a bunch of them across the country that if you could preach better than them, and all of these guys do, their jealousy goes to eating a hold of them. And all that business there. You know what? If you were to walk up to me and say, man, I wish Brother Harold was preacher here at all time, you know what I'd say to you? Me too. Yeah. Do you know how much work it is to study and to pray and to get together and all that business there and all that? I'm just telling you right now, and plus to be able to handle some of this, some of the yeah that goes on and this and that and all that. And you ever notice is that in the most peak of revival time is when it'll always happen. I just love that kind of stuff. You know, I'm closer to where I'm going than where I came from. I don't want you to think that I don't care, but I've learned to handle it a whole lot better. And let me just tell you, it's not that I'm not concerned, but I'm just going to turn that over to the Lord if there ain't something I can get done about it. See? In this lesson that you're looking at, you begin to find out that Saul was such a man that decided, I've got to get rid of David if I possibly can. Now, who's going to fight David? He's already cut the head of a giant off. So what he does is he acts the hypocrite. And what he does is that he takes and says, I'll tell you what I'm going to do is that I'm going to go ahead and give him my daughter to marry. Maybe she'll be a snare to him. Boy, he's proud of his daughter, wasn't he? Now, some of you son-in-laws of mine, I had no thoughts like that at all in my mind whenever I was telling you that you needed to go down the road or find someone else or be in a... I just tried to warn you up front. I've tried to tell you ahead of time, you're going to have to be a strong man in the Lord if you handle this woman. But you just had to have her. Now we're glad. We're glad. And all that business there. But let me say to you that, if you will, that just old Saul was such a hypocrite. He didn't want to be a blessing to David. He didn't want to have a good son-in-law for his daughter to marry. He just wanted to be a hypocrite and try to put him in the hottest part of the battle. And somehow or another, instead of bringing his own hand against him, he said, the Philistines, I'll let them do the work and let them kill it. Well, the first one that he promised, she was given to somebody else. And then Saul said, you know, I've got another daughter too. You can have her. And as a result of that, and they got to hash it out over, and she'll be a snare to him and so forth and on. And let me say to you that, if you will, he tried to set him up and tried to set him up secretly. And, of course, David, being such a humble man, he was telling when people said, hey, you know, Saul wants you to be a son-in-law and all that. And David said, do you think it's a small thing to become the son-in-law and to marry the daughter of a king? I'm a poor man. I'm not worthy of that. Boy, I'm telling you right now, you talk about a humble old boy, old David was. And let me say to you that, if you will, is that they went and told Saul, and Saul said, well, I'll tell you what, tell him I don't want a dowry. Here's what I want to do is, he don't have to worry about coming up with money or anything to pay me, but I tell you what I want him to do. If he'll bring me 100 foreskins of the Philistines, that's 100 men and their foreskins. They're going to be circumcised whether they want it or not. Oh, David's such a humble man. He's not just interested in getting by with whatever he can just get by with. If he wants 100, he went out and brought 200 back, foreskins of those Philistines, and paid double than what the king had asked for. Well, I want to say to you that if you will, is that when you slay 200 Philistines and get their foreskins and you bring it back, verse number 28 of our text that we're looking at, this Bible says, after he paid the full tale, Saul gave him his daughter to wife, and he said in verse 28, and Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. And Saul was yet the more afraid of David, and Saul became David's enemy continually. I want to tell you, David behaved himself wisely, behaved himself more wisely. Here was a man that was humble before God. Here's a man that's been anointed to take his place, Saul's place. But he wasn't in a hurry till God had moved that around and fixed it for him. You know, there was a time David could have killed him, but he didn't. And he didn't. He went ahead and just because he said, I'm not going to touch the Lord's anointing. I got to tell you something right now. We live in a day and an hour, and you're going to brush shoulders with people like that. You're going to work with people like that. You're going to go to church sometime with people like that. You're going to try to do business with people that are just like old Saul, that they've got an ulterior motive that's hidden, that's secret, and they're being a hypocrite on the up front about what it is that they're trying to get done. Now, I don't think we've got anybody like that, but God knoweth. But God knoweth. See? But if you do run upon that, be like David. Be humble like David. Be to the place in your life to where you realize and know that, hey, that I'm not just looking to get the bare minimum fulfilled. I'll go double if I have to show them how that I feel about the work of God and the people of God. Last but not least, in closing here, I want to tell you, not only was David loyal to this king, but it was because he was loyal to the King of Kings, and that's the reason being. You know, your loyalty to humanity will finally fizzle out or it'll wane some, but if your loyalty to Christ is what it ought to be, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, so forth and on, then it'll be real. It'll just be real. Let's stand to our feet, our heads are bowed. Our Father, we want to thank you for loving us while we were unlovable. We want to say thank you for giving us a day in the Lord, being able to sing songs of Zion, listen to these boys and girls, these special singers. We thank you and praise you that thou art God. Beside thee, there is none else. Bless every family represented here tonight. Be with those.